appreciate you, man. Nice to meet you for the first time.
Yeah, hey, hey, it's happy to. I'm so happy to have you on again. So there's a couple of things I want to dive into. You know, obviously with the lockout situation and being a former player, some of the stuff that you're doing in the community as well. So overall, your thoughts on this whole lockout situation, being a former player. What are your thoughts between what's been going on so far between the league itself and also the Players Association?
Well, I guess the biggest thing would be is that it sucks right now. You know what I mean? For
yeah.
The people that love the game of baseball. You know what I'm saying? That's first and foremost. You know, me being a fan, obviously, I really wish I was able to be watching some spring training ball right now. Or, you know what I'm saying? Just getting in the swing of things. But, I mean, the owners, you know, they ain't going to want to pay, you know what I mean? And the players going to want more money, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
That's always going to be the case, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day. I feel like it's just unfortunate that we haven't gotten to an agreement. It's taking so long. I feel like it's a lot more to this thing, but obviously I'm not in those rooms with them.
Right.
I have a lot of friends, you know, Will, Middlebrook, Edwin Jackson, Tommy Pham, a whole bunch of guys that I still sit, I mean, I chat with to this day, but I really feel for the fans that really enjoy baseball. You know what I mean? Right now, I'm still out there at Pensacola State College working with them. I was just talking with the UWF baseball coach, and we watching a lot of Little League baseball right now. You know what I mean? And to be honest, sometimes that could be more exciting than how the Major League
yeah.
you know ball is playing right now. But at the same time, you know, you love seeing the boys out there on the field playing, you know, and that's the biggest thing. We want to see guys on the field playing.
Right.
Hopefully, you know, we'll get some type of understanding of what's going on or some type of agreement or come. Again, like I said, the biggest thing for me is just, you know, I just feel for the fans and the people that really enjoy watching baseball.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, had said, you know, the number one concern is about the fans.
Right,
and you could
right.
be like, yeah, you
exactly.
can go ahead and keep on talking. But
exactly.
we already know that, you know, that is – that's why it's so interesting about this is that if the fans were truly, like, the core interest of it, I feel like the owners would and the league would be a little bit more – flexible with their figures and how lenient they are in the money that they provide to the players, especially I think it's interesting. Anthony Rizzo had tweeted this out. He said, for the younger generation, this is for you guys. So,
exactly.
you know, the older players and the players in the majors now are looking out for the younger guys who are coming up, whether it be college or even, you know, the youth players that you're working with and some of these other kids who are going to be in the major leagues in, say, 5 or 10 years. They're trying to set these other players up for success, which is not too often what you see in other leagues. I think that's obviously, you know, very awesome to see. And you being a former player, I would assume that you would side with the players on this.
Most definitely.
But what do you think is the biggest issue? Obviously, you know, they've talked about the whole tax threshold and how much money is going to be spent on players. There's also the expansion of the playoffs. The owners wanting to have more teams in there.
Right.
What do you think is the biggest issue that goes on during these labor disputes?
I mean, you're talking about, you know, these owners are making a bunch of money, man.
Yeah,
they're making
billions
a lot of money.
Of dollars.
Exactly,
yeah.
And I mean, we just had to really call it what it is. That's what it is. It's money. Obviously, that's what we all
right.
know. It's about the money. You
right.
know what I'm saying, but it's also like, you know, little things like the rule changes and everything. They talking about wanting to make bigger bases and robot umpires. And you know, when you start thinking about all that kind of stuff, you know, you really have to start doing, you know, what, you know, people like Rizzo is doing is start, you know, paying attention to how are we going to leave this? You know, what's the old saying? You want to leave it better than how you got it,
yeah,
basically,
right.
you know? And that's kind of like where it's at for me. It's like, you know, they just looking out for what is the future of this? Yeah, we done a lot of things and done some great things, but where are we trying to go? And for me, it is kind of interesting. You know, like I said, I talked to Edwin Jackson and we discussed a little bit just on how the game has changed a lot. You know what I mean? Just from him, I mean, I think Edwin got about 17 years in the league, you know, with all the teams that he's been a part
yeah.
of. So he was able to see different organizations, how they run things and stuff. And for him, you know, to hear him talk about, you know, today's baseball is very interesting because I know he loves baseball. I know he enjoys the game. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I mean, the biggest thing, like I said, obviously – is money. Obviously, that's what it is. But at the same time, it's also, you know, the style of play. What's going? How is baseball being taught? You know what I'm saying? And right now, you know, with all these analytics and all this, man, it's just. It's really, it almost seemed like it got so crazy that everybody was like, hold on, stop. We gotta set some type of boundaries here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the players, you know, they in the Players Association then got to. They're like, listen, man, what? You can't just keep beating us over the head. You know what I'm saying?
So, right.
I really understand the play. I get it. You know, if I was playing right now, obviously, I mean, I'm on their side now, and I most definitely would be if I was still playing. I think the idea of it, like I said, going back at the end of the day, it's about the fans. You know what I'm saying? It's about the fans and what they're missing right now. And they're the ones that's really paying our salaries. You know what I'm saying? The people that appreciate coming out to watch the games, buying them hot dogs, buying them drinks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's who I feel for. Even my own mom, who never watched baseball. You know, she never watched baseball until I started playing, you know what I mean, in the major leagues. And her, she even saying, you know, I don't see no baseball on TV right now. She don't even know that the lockout is going on. So just getting a better understanding on the appreciation on the outside. You know, being a player, we don't necessarily get a chance to see how the fans really feel, and now we're really, you know, hearing their expressions. You know what I mean? I appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah. So going back to your playing days, what is the best memory? Obviously, World Series champion. I'm assuming that this is the direction that you'll go with this answer. But what is your favorite memory, whether it be from your minor league days, playing in the majors? What was the best memory for you in your playing career?
Wow. Along with getting my first hit, getting the call up by Hammer, our Skip back in Memphis. I can go on and on. But the greatest one I would say is just the first day. The very first day, you know, I woke up. I wanted to make sure I was on time getting to the field, man. And my hotel was right around the corner from the stadium. And when I first got there, I seen Tony and I seen Maguire. And he came up to me. And the first thing I heard when I entered, other than the hellos from everybody that worked there, which was almost also the favorite part, is being able to meet the people that I met inside of Busch Stadium. But Mark Maguire told me to create a plan right then. Mm. And I really believe that from that moment until the end of that season, which was the World Series season, I really decided I created a plan for myself on how I was going to be when I walked in the locker room, you know, how I was going to lead the locker room, how I was going to prepare, you know, making sure I was out of the way of guys like Albert Pujols to make sure they were still, because they've been there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I had to make sure I walked in the right places and sat in the right places to be out of their way. So the fact that I was able to even be a part of this World Series team goes way beyond just my athleticism on the field. It was my attitude off the field and how I conducted myself, and that's mostly what I appreciate, because, you know, a lot of us, you know, we want to get to that major league level, you know what I mean? We don't understand the work necessarily, but it's a lot more than just, you know, swinging a bat and throwing a baseball and catching a ball. It's your how are you when you have to communicate with one another? You know what I mean? How are you with reading people? You know, somebody having a bad day, they don't want you to come up to them talking about, hey man, let's go have a drink tonight. You know what I'm saying? They want to kind of relax and
right.
go over, you know, the things that they did, you know, to kind of help them the next time. So it's just understanding that. Also, when it came to being a major leaguer, man, I really appreciated everything about it. You know what I mean? We got paid well. We was able to fly on beautiful hotels. But I think it was just the people. Well, I know it was just the people that I was able to meet, and having Mark Maguire, you know, from the very first day, suggest that I create a plan. And to end in that World Series bit, man, it was fascinating, man.
Was there at all like a feeling of, oh my God, this is Mark Maguire? Or is it just simply, you know, as far as you, his treatment of you, he treated you like you were just another one of the guys?
Yeah, but see, I was in spring training. You know, I was there years. You know, right. I was already with the organization for 4 years. So I've seen Mark Maguire. Now, when I first seen him, it was like that. You know what I mean? In 2007, it was like, wow, man, what is this? Tony La Russa. This is Hank Hill. You know what I mean? This is Troy Gloss. You know what I mean? Aaron Miles. Man, there was so many guys. Aaron Miles, he was shorter than me. And he's in the Major League. Like, what in the world? You know what I mean? So, it was very inspiring being able to see that I was right next to these major league ball players with great names, with great talent, and worked very hard to get there. You know, I kind of felt like when I did get to St. Louis, I felt like, you know, at that point, me and Pete Cosma, I don't know if you remember that name,
yeah.
Pete Cosma.
Yeah.
We used to talk about it all the time when we stayed together. But, you know, having him a first round, and I was a 38th round, and we lived together in rookie ball. And we used to always talk about, you know what I mean, just the things we needed to do to get there. And he used to always say, you know, we would go up and then we would come back down to the minor leagues. It was like, when you get to the major leagues, you never want to come back down to the minor
right,
leagues. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't just the respect of being in the major league or the recognition. It was just that feeling that it gave us. You know what I'm saying? It was a different atmosphere. You know what I mean? You had guys that really was about their business. You know, they took pride in taking ground balls. They took pride in doing flat grounds. They took pride in batting practice. It wasn't always about hitting home runs. You know, in the minor leagues, that's what we think. We think it's all about hitting home runs and trying to strike everybody out. You know, Adam Wainwright, you know, even though he threw 95, especially early in his career, he was a finesser. You know what I mean? He always tried to get you to off balance. You know what I mean? So just being able to understand and study how these guys approach the game, it was fascinating, man, for real.
And one of the cool things that you're able to do now is, you know, you're still involved with the game. You're giving back to the community, if you will, and being able to teach and everything. Of course, you got the 56 hat on.
No doubt, that
is your, you own.
No doubt.
That correct?
No doubt. So Swing Champ is.
Swing Champ, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Swing Champ 56. You got to have
it. Yes,
add
yeah, 56. Right.
But that's my, I started Swing Champ back in 2013, 14 kind of. And it was just an idea. You know, I came home one day after the season. This, as a matter of fact, this was in 2012. And my mom had the picture of me. I wish I would have brought it in here for you. A picture of me with my hands up. So this is actually me on that picture with my
okay.
hands up. She had this on a computer. And I said, Mom, you like that picture? She said, this is my favorite picture because it looked like I was pointing up to God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To the heavens. So I was like, well, perfect. I'm going to put that on the hat. You know what I'm saying? So I put it on the hat, and I had AC on the side of it first. And I was like, I don't want to put no AC. So I loved that number 56. And when I always, you know, studied numbers and things like that and understanding what 5 and the 6, peace and love and, you know what I'm saying, all that kind of stuff. I just thought it was creative. And next thing you know, people start asking me to do, you know, camps. So I started doing baseball camps. And, you know, at that time, you know, Swing Champ wasn't a business. It was just me trying to give back to my community. Well, they start asking for one-on-one camps. So I said, well, why not, you know, make this a business and being able to really, you know, make a lifestyle out of this. And well, the biggest thing was I was still playing. So it really wasn't established like it is now. You know what I'm saying? Now that
right.
I got home, I actually was able to start my nonprofit now to where we're going to be doing camps around Pensacola and just giving kids the fundamentals of the game. I think with all of this information that's involved in baseball, the fundamentals are kind of getting lost. And just teaching guys how to field a ground ball, teaching guys the proper mechanics to throw a ball, understanding to make contact with the ball. You know, they're going back to this whole this shift situation.
Yeah.
You know, where, so I really believe that the strikeouts are going to go down a little bit too, because you know, a lot of times when you're bombarded with all of this information, it kind of takes away from the fundamentals, like what's important, hitting the ball. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? You're so worried about not hitting the ball into the shift or
right.
hitting hard through the shift, you kind of lose the idea. And I think that's what's going on with the game right now. Guys are overthrowing, getting hurt, which, don't get me wrong, we still have great talent. You know, Tommy Pham is still one of my, you know, heroes when it comes to that. You know, he battled a lot of injuries and things like that coming up in the minor leagues, and seeing him still play today is phenomenal. But when you look at his style of play, he's very fundamental. He still bunts, he still steals, he still gets guys over, he hits his home runs, he gets his doubles. And I think that's what's needed in Pensacola right now. So We Connect, Reconnect is our nonprofit. And, you know what I'm saying? We're really establishing a beautiful game that's already here in Pensacola. We have great talent, but we just want to add in to those kids that, you know, can't afford those gloves, the bats and the cleats and things like that,
yeah.
and let them be able to come and show their talents too.
What is it? What is your favorite part? Is it being able to teach them, you know, to go back to the fundamentals, to be able to help out those kids who can't necessarily afford the gloves or afford the bats? What's your favorite part about teaching the game of baseball?
It's two things. I like that question. Two things. For me, first of all, I was, even while I was playing, I was a quarterback in high school. While I was playing, people always used to say I was a coach. You know what I'm saying? I was always that guy. I knew everybody's play. Mm. I knew what this guy was supposed to do. I always felt like I needed to do that because I was only 170 pounds. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At quarterback, everybody was bigger than me. So I felt like I had to have that edge. I needed to know what's going on. And when it comes to these kids, man, it's like the fun part is, like I said, being able to give them some. I practice yoga and things like that. It's amazing when, you know, a kid is coming from another organization or another coaches, and I'm not, you know, down in any coaches. I think this is the most fundamental thing about a coach and what coaches have to have. You got to be able to give this kid something that's going to help him connect the dots. Jake Wood said this to me a long time ago. Lou Brock. Lou Brock said, we all need someone to help us connect the dots.
Mm.
So what I mean by that is, if I can tell this kid, okay, when you feel the ground ball, your feet are supposed to go right, left, pick it, right, left, throw. It's amazing when I do this or I demonstrate a way to throw the ball, how the kid, it's like a light bulb just come on in their head. And it's like, wow, you know what I'm saying? This information that I was able to study, that I was able to practice, I was able to give it to them, and they was able to see that it worked, and now they can take. It's not even me. Like, I really believe that, you know, you know, talented ball players, they're gonna make it to the major leagues on their own. You know, they don't need you know, somebody else to help them. The coaches just help to navigate them. You know, help them in certain situations where they need somebody to talk to, getting them to practice. You know, making sure they stay in the line. But the talent is always gonna be there, and I really believe that a coach's responsibility is to tap into that. What can I say to this kid that's going to help him figure out what he has? You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the most that's what I'm getting the most pleasure out of right now. It's just being able to see that while I'm studying the game, because it's coaching is a lot different from playing, man.
Yeah,
it's a lot different. So being able to study like I have been and see these kids grow, you know, it really excites me and makes me want to continue to do what I do.
For sure. Again, speaking to Adron Chambers, a World Series champion, played in the bigs with the Cardinals and throughout the minor leagues. Appreciate you for coming on, man. I really do. Do you still cheer for the Cardinals since that was your team?
Of course, man. Listen, I was so mad when they got rid of Mike Schilt, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is going on with him? Matter of fact, I still do the fantasy camps down in Jupiter, Florida. I just left this past year with Ozzie Smith was there. Mm. So David Freese was there with us, man.
Awesome,
I ain't seen David in a long time. Alan Craig. Matter of fact, they had a nice little welcoming for the guys that were able to come that were a part of that 2011 World Series team. So I was able to see a lot of my old friends. And, you know, the honest thing, the Cardinals have the best fans, man. And I know every organization is going to say that, man. But I seen them cheer for Chipper Jones one time. We were in Busch Stadium, dog, and it was the best celebration. He was on the other team. I'm over here looking like, are y'all really supposed to be screaming this loud for this guy? You know what I mean? But just being able to see that, man, I really appreciate St. Louis, man. And, you know, St. Louis will forever be in my heart. I'm a Cardinal till I die.
Hey, man, I'll tell you, I remember fondly just watching, you know, Tony La Russa and the Cardinals wins and, you know, being able to be a part of that, I'm sure, is something that obviously you're never going to forget and you're always going to remember forever. But again, Adron Chambers, really appreciate you for coming on, man.
I appreciate
you. I'd love to have you back on.
Man, let me know.
Throughout the season, hopefully, as soon as the season gets going, we can chop it up again about the season and how it's going, plus the stuff that you're doing as well.
I would love to. I really appreciate it, man.